Acts chapter 14, please. Acts chapter number 14. And I want to read one verse, but we'll be referring back to chapter 13 and 14. If you're familiar with your Bible, if you're not, that's no problem. What we have in these two chapters is Paul's first missionary journey. And I want to talk a little bit this morning on the secret, and it's not a secret, but the secret to being used by God. The secret of being used by the Lord or by God. And I think that'll be an important thing in your life as a Christian is for the Lord to use your life, to use you. Can I say something? If you're saved and you're still breathing, He wants to. Amen. He wants to use you. Now, He don't call everybody to preach. He don't give everybody a gift to sing, and He don't give everybody this, that. But folks, there's so many things that you can do for the Lord. You know, the Lord even got to this point, and He said this, just to make it simple for us: if you'll just give a cup of cold water in My name, you won't lose reward for it. Amen. So the only thing that's going to last is what you do for Him. Amen. All this other stuff is temporal and temporary, to fade away, to pass away. And what we do for the glory of man, we receive our reward here. But what we do for the glory of God, we receive reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. If our motive is right. And so we all ought to be interested. But I want to notice in verse 27 of chapter number 14, if you'll look at that with me, please. The Bible says, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them." Now, did you get that? They rehearsed all that God had done, not for them, but with them. We can't miss those prepositions. We can't miss those things, what God done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now, what's happening here is that is biblical missions. May the Lord add His blessings. The church sent out men. Amen. To preach the gospel. He sent out men to preach the gospel. And they went, and we'll mention this in a moment. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and, again, if you study chapter 13 and 14, they left Antioch. The church sent them forth from Antioch, and they went to Cilicia, and then on to Cyprus, and then they went to Paphos, and then they went to Perga and Pamphylia, then they left Perga and went to Antioch, Pisidia, and then they left from there and went to Iconium, and then to Lystra, and to Derbe, and then they backtracked all the way back to Antioch. And now the church had prayed over them. They had laid hands on them, and what that means is they are recognizing them for the work. Can I say something like this? They kind of ordained them right there. They ordained them right there. They laid hands on them. They prayed over them. And they sent them forth. And the church knew them. They knew their testimony. They knew they had a clear call upon their life. And they knew that their life was right. So the church sanctioned them. The church backed them. The church sent them. And they went all over these places. And now in the verse I read, they're back. And they're giving a report of what God did with them. And so I believe that's biblical missions. That's how we support them. Amen. We don't throw money into a cooperative program and not have a clue where it's at. But we support men. And their local churches send them out. And we support them. And, of course, now with all the technology, we don't have to wait till they get back. They send correspondence. And they have accountability to their local church and their pastor. And trust me, when one gets out of line, one strays, one does something, we hear about it and we drop the support. That's right. That's what we do. I believe that's biblical. Amen. when John Mark left, I don't believe they supported him any longer. But they knew. So I believe that that's biblical. That's just one of the reasons that we're independent Baptist. Not because, of course, we get called a cult sometimes. People need to understand what a cult is before they call us one. We're a church. And we do our very best to do what the Bible said. Have we arrived? Absolutely not. Are we trying to get there? Absolutely. But we know these men. We know these families. They're people and men in our churches are like faith. And we correspond and they have accountability. You throw money into a group of people and there's no accountability for it. They say, oh, there's accountability for it. Not through the local church. You don't know where it's going. The accountability belongs to the local church. I'm accountable to the local church. That's right. I, as a pastor, I'm accountable to that. I make myself accountable, and I'm accountable biblically to you. Amen. I'm not a hierarchy. I'm not a Baptist pope. I'm a pastor. Amen. Been called by God. Now, again, I'm to take the oversight. I'm the overseer, but yet at the same time, I'm servant and accountable to the local church. That's how it works. That nobody can glory in themselves. Amen. This isn't the house Tommy built. This is the house God built. Amen. He said, hey, upon this rock I will build my church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I didn't find, oh, you founded that. No, God founded the church. Amen. I'm glad he used us to begin this local church, but it's God's. As a matter of fact, if we fold tomorrow and have to sell to another church, nobody here gets a dime of it. It goes to ministry. Amen. And I even like the stipulation, Miss Ann, that your mama put in this thing when we bought this property. She said, I will sell it to you, but you better put it in writing. It's always a church. It always belongs to God. And I say amen right there. It does. It always belongs to God. It's his. But anyway, that's not in my notes, so that's 10 minutes you didn't ask for. But that statement that they made in verse 27, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. See, that's an amazing statement. That's a miraculous statement. That God could take sinful man. Get this. Now, this is preaching. Get it out of your mind that I'm unusable. Get it out of your mind that I'm unusable. Amen. Hey, they rehearse. We know what rehearse means. They're telling it over. They're giving the story. I can imagine when they go to preaching the gospel, Jews and Gentiles getting right with God, they came back with a story to tell. But they said how the Lord, what the Lord did with them. And folks, can I say something to you? If you'll just give yourself to God, he'll do something with you. Right. He'll do something with you. That no flesh can glory in his presence. Amen. Now, let me get to the message. I can't think of any greater thing than to partner with God and for God to be able to use me. Let me ask you something. Now, again, you young preachers, I'm sure you do this, but every Christian ought to be doing it. You ever lay in bed at night excited at the prospect of God doing something with you? You the young preachers that are here, That's just be some of them that have been called a couple years, 3 years, 4 years, some of you a year, some of you just getting called. Hey, I know that right now, and boy, I'm giving a lot of the message away, but right now, you're faithfully serving here. I don't use preachers that don't serve God. All of them are doing something for the Lord. Amen. Every preacher here is doing something for the Lord. There ain't no lazy preacher as far as ministry here. Now, we may get aggravated when it's time to cut the grass, but we're going to serve God. Every preacher here. And when I was licensed, that one of the things that the pastor said at that time, he said, you're going to be wondering, what's God? Where's God's going to put me? Is he going to let me pastor there, go serve here? And that's a wonderful thing. But every Christian ought to have that desire.
Amen.
Lord, what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do with me? Let me give you a few things. I'm not going to get finished, but let me give you a few things here. Just the message. In other words, the secret of being used of God, number one, being willing to be faithfully serving. Now, I done said this about the young preachers, but if you'll notice in chapter 13, you can turn or you don't have to. In chapter 13, verse number 2, look here. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it gives their names. And get this, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said. Did you get that? As they ministered unto, in other words, as they served God, while they were serving the Lord. Folks, can I say this? If you want stories to tell of what God has done with you, you got to be doing something. Hello? If you want stories to tell of what God has done with you, you have to be doing something. See, these men were already serving, already faithful to the Lord and their local church. Let me go ahead. This is cutting my heart. We don't support any ministry that's not worked through a local church. I get calls all the time. I have this ministry. I'm looking for support. I said, well, who's your pastor? What's your local church? Oh, I don't have a local church. We just go here and there, and we go to different churches. I said, I can't help you. Now, some of you are saying that's judging. No, that's scriptural. These men had a local church. And they were serving in and out of that local church. And while they were serving, while they were ministering under the Lord, God opened more doors. Bigger doors. Greater doors.
Amen.
See, if you want stories to tell, you got to be faithful. Now, I want to say something. There's two things. Two of the main things that God's people ought to be doing. And they're under these two headings. Now, I'm going to say this. You can disagree with it. If you're physically able, you may be doing one and not the other. But I believe if you're not doing both together, it voids out the one you actually are doing. Y'all, please don't make me say that again. Did y'all get that? There's two major things that every child of God ought to be doing. And ought to be doing them together. But if you're only doing one and not the other, I believe it voids out God's blessings on the one you are doing. You say, preacher, I disagree with every bit of that. Okay. The two things, supplication, prayer life. Supplication, prayer life, supplication, Bible reading.
Amen.
Supplication.
Amen.
And then secondly, serving the Lord. I believe you. Well, preacher, I pray. I'm talking about physically able bodies now. Don't misunderstand that. Preacher, I got a prayer life. Man, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. But you do nothing in service for God. I believe it boils out that.
Amen.
Again, well, preacher, God ain't called me to preach. I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking about serving God. Again, he said, if you'll give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose reward for it. That's service. There's no big and little job. It's all doing, hey, whatever you do for the Lord, somehow or another have something that you do for the Lord.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you've not said nothing to me about serving. I'm not the one that does it. I've had a lady one time tell me, she said, well, there ain't no sense in preaching to us about that. You've not given me nothing to do. I said, I'm not the one that does that. But I believe if God bursts a work in your heart, number one, it'll be scriptural. It won't contradict his word. And if he bursts works in your heart, he's going to open the door for you to do it.
Right.
He'll open the door for you to do it. So, serving God. We got people around this place doing things, going out serving God, serving God here, doing stuff. I mean, folks, and I know they're not asked for this. Mike and Arnett, they make sure that blessing box full. That's their ministry. In 10 minutes after they fill it up, it's empty. That's a minute. That's a work for God. That's as important and been as much a testimony as us walking 3 or 4 miles once a month on Saturday, hanging door hangers and knocking doors. They're not physically able to do that, but they can do that. See, what I'm trying to say is this. If you won't have a story to tell what God did with you, you got to be doing something.
Right.
Well, I served God. I went and knocked 50 doors, but you ain't prayed in 2 weeks. I believe it voids you. As far as I'm talking about the blessing and the rewards of God. I believe it voids you. He's a preacher, you can't prove a bit of that. You can't disprove it either. I believe as a child of God, they've got to be together. And then we can't have come to church and expect to be on this team or have that class or sing that special. Hey, you can't come to church once a week. Expect. Well, I'm mad they ain't call on me. Hey, you ain't here enough. You can't just pick and choose when I want to do something. Hey, you got to be faithful to every service as much as you're physically able to do so. And these folks said, preacher, again, there's some folks legitimately cannot come. They're shut-ins that cannot go to the house of God. And that's one of the reasons we have this live stream. There's people that cannot go. They don't have the physical capacity to go do what we do. And I'm not talking about them. But don't say, preacher, I just can't come back on Wednesday night or Sunday night, but you can walk 3 hours around Walmart twice a week. Well, how do you do that? Because you want to. You have a desire to. Meddling, ain't it? Be willing to be faithfully serving. Number two, everybody said amen. I'm ready to leave that one myself. Not only to be willing to be faithfully serving. Number two, this is probably as far as I get. Be willing to be fully separated. And look at chapter 13, verse 2 again. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, here it is, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Folks, preaching is a calling. If you want a story to tell of how Jesus used you, you must be willing to do what? Do what others won't do. Folks, did you hear what the Lord called it? Separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the what? Work. There is the thing. Serving the Lord is work.
Right.
When the church first took me on full time, the folks, I'm going to say this, the church don't pay me to preach or to pastor, you pay me so I can. There's a difference. Because I promise you, if the church went broke tomorrow, I wouldn't leave you. But I had a fellow ask me, went to a church, voted to take us on full time. And he walked out the back door, and all this was up yonder. He said, "What are you going to do all day now?" Me being so humble, I said, "Fish." And these fellows that fish around here a lot, ask them how many times I've had to cancel a fishing trip. I've not yet got to go with them yet. It's work. It's work. You see, to have these stories, if you want to say how God has used me, what God's done with me, you got to do what others won't. That's work. Chapter 14, verse number 26. "And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God." For what? The work which they fulfilled. It's work. You got to be willing to do something others won't do. Number two, you got to be able to answer when others won't answer. The Lord said, "Whereunto I call them." They answer the call. You got to go where others won't go. Nobody else was trying to go on this missionary journey. Nobody else said, "Lord, I wish you'd pick me." If truth be known, all Baptists are Baptists. They probably said, "Boy, I'm glad he didn't pick me." Go where others will not go. Brother David knows that anybody beating the door down to do the work you're doing. Nobody asking to do that. They ain't a line saying, "David, go ahead and take rest. I got it." It's work. Brother Mike going down to Saints, all that. Hey, Brother Billy and Anthony, they ain't a line saying, "Oh, let us go this time. Let's do that this day." Nobody doing that. Why? Because it's work. It's not glory. It's not lift me up on your shoulders. It's work. Go where you got to do what others won't do. Answer when others won't answer. Go where others won't go. In other words, you've got to depart. He said away. That word away is in there. You got to leave comfort. Leave family for a span. You gotta set everything of yours aside. See, to be used by God, you've got to be faithfully serving and you've got to be fully separated. And let me give you one more. I don't think I got but two more. I'll run through them. Number three, you got to be willing to be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 13, verse 9, the Bible says this. "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him." Down here, verse 52. "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." Here's the problem, one sentence. Most people cannot be used of God because they are so full of themselves and not full of the Spirit of God. I'm going to run through these. The Holy Ghost is one who does the calling, chapter 13, verse 2. The Spirit of God is one who does the sending, chapter 13, verse 4. The Holy Ghost is one that does the work through us, chapter 13, verse 9. They were filled with the Holy Ghost because they fasted and prayed, chapter 13, verse 2, chapter 14, verse 23. They worked and operated in the power of God. A person that will not be Spirit-filled won't have very many stories to tell. The fire we need comes from the Holy Spirit. The fuel we need comes from the Holy Spirit. The fervency we need comes from the Holy Spirit. The focus we need comes from the Holy Spirit. The finish we need comes from the Holy Spirit. And that was 15 minutes of preaching right there. Let me give you this final thought. To be used of God, you've got to be willing to fight Satan. You got to be willing to faithfully serve. Be willing to fully be separated. You got to be willing to be filled with the Spirit. You got to be willing to fight Satan. Look at chapter 13, verses 8. And I'm going to give you these as quick as I can. Chapter 13, verses 8 through 12. And Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. What's happening here? God's moving. God say, hey, the devil's losing people. And he begins to fight. You know what impresses me about all that? Paul and Silas didn't leave the work. John did. 10%, if three's the congregation, There's a nucleus that'll serve God as long as there's no opposition. Can I say something to you? If you're going to pout up and quit just because every time somebody in the church says something negative to you about it, your faith is small. Used to be an older preacher, pastor of church up the road. He's done with the Lord now. And I'd run into him. I'd run into him a lot at the hospitals. I was just, this was just a new birth church. And he was the kind of fella, he didn't care what he talked about and who in front of. And he got on the elevator with me one day, and there's three or four more people on there. It was kind of full. And he said, hey, brother. He saw me, he said, you have a good day? Yeah, it's like a Monday. I said, yeah. I said, you? He said, yeah. He said, I had this one old woman come by the back door and told me she didn't like my sermon. He said, I looked at her and said, that's okay, the devil didn't either. And everybody in that building, I'm dying laughing. Everybody over there looking at him like he's crazy. Didn't bother him a bit. Had a fellow one time, they were good people, but they just wasn't used to us. And that's not shocking either. We're unique. Amen. We're peculiar. And he said, man, I like you preaching, I like the church. He said, but there's some things I don't understand. There's some things I don't agree with. I said, what are they? He said, you let children in your choir. I said, yeah. I said, what else? He said, y'all go to the altar? He said, y'all go to pray it all at one time out loud? I said, I don't understand what anybody's saying. I said, well, number one, there ain't nobody talking to you. They're talking to the Lord. And I knew what he wanted and I knew what he didn't want. And I recommended him another church. That church, the church I recommended, wasn't a bad church either. They just wasn't peculiar. They wasn't special. And they joined there. and died there. I'm glad I could help him. I'd rather for a man to do that and go on than stay 5 years and cause all kind of trouble because he's trying to tweak it the way he wants it. Hey, let me tell you something. Find out what we are before you join. Find out what we do before you join. If you can't hack it, I think that's only right. Amen. Count the cost before you say, before you have to go tell somebody you're a member here. I'm glad to say it, but by the way, you find a church without problems, don't go there. You'll mess it up. You find a perfect pastor, I want to meet him. I want him to sign my Bible. I mean that. But you got to be willing to fight Satan. You got to be willing to suffer. That's another point. Now, we ain't going to talk about that one. The apostles knew what it was to suffer. You got to be willing to do all these things. If you wanted to know what God will do with you, you want stories to tell about what God did with you, that you got to be willing to do some things. Amen. These guys come back from Antioch telling people that had no idea about what God did with them. Folks, can you tell anything about what God did with you? We all can talk about what God did for us. Now, we can start at salvation, home, health, money, car. God's done a lot for us. Amen. But what's God done with you? What have you allowed him to do with you? Let's all stand. Come on, Court. Thank you for your time and patience. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar's open.